I feel empty. Shadows pass on me, spinning, get dizzy. I'm so forgotten, so missing. Screaming, I'm sinking. Never stop winning. Eyes on the prize, I get eyes on me all around. Eyes on the prize. You know you lie, but you still call my phone. You lie, but you still call my phone. Try and try again, but it's no home. I cannot lie, you were just a call. I cannot lie, you were just a call. You were just a call. I cannot, you were just a call.
Jesse, you must listen to WUY 90.9 FM on the net. Don't touch that dial. Jesse, keep it locked.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is so innovative, it not only improves the lives of veterans, it transforms the lives of healthcare professionals who serve them with access to the latest technologies and remarkable benefits. Transform your future at vacareers.va.gov.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here's some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, March 30th, O Factor 2026 is happening at 8 p.m. in the Hunt Union Ballroom. Note, if you wish to vote, you must be present for all acts in order to receive a ballot. On Tuesday, March 31st at 4 p.m., the baseball team plays Hamilton at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. At 9 p.m., Trivia Tuesday will be happening in the Red Dragon Theater in Hunt Union. On Wednesday, April 1st, the baseball team has another game, this time against RPI, again at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. On Thursday, April 2nd, the men's tennis team plays against Union at the Dr. Hayson 63 tennis courts at 4 p.m. Also on Thursday at 5:30, the Ola Club is hosting a Slime Your Stress Away event located in Fitzell Room 105. The Empire State Service Corps is looking for students to serve 300 hours of public service next academic year. Gain leadership skills, hands-on experience, and make an impact, all while building your resume. Applications for fall 2026 are now open, with priority deadline being on Friday, April 17th. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up? DJ Nos from R2, episode 104? 104, I think. You know what day it is?
Wednesday.
There's multiple things going on today. Not only is it hump day, the best day of the week, right? But also, it's the Fool's Day.
It's April Fool's Day.
It is April Fool's Day. And there's only one fool in the studio right now, and that would be me. That would not be Cassandra Miller, who's across from me over there, who I'm very happy to have on this morning. You came on once before, but it was a very small, short kind of interview. Hello, everybody in Radioland out there. Hopefully you're doing well, and it is a little muggy down here today. I was just saying that outside smells in this building smells a little bit like the ocean. It smells like that outside too, though.
It does. It's spring.
Last night was crazy. Did you see all the thunder in this?
Yes.
It was a fun storm.
I play volleyball at the Armory, and our games were canceled because the roof was leaking. So
okay.
There was water on the courts.
Is this the same league that Ruggles plays in?
Yes.
And Allison?
Yeah.
And like everybody? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've heard of this infamous league.
It's really fun, and people have been playing together for years.
Is it co-ed?
Yes.
Oh.
And my team is new this year. Like, we've never played together.
Okay.
But we all wear our team t-shirts to every game. And we are one of the worst teams in the league,
but
we have a great time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I just joined a Friday noon basketball thing at the Armory.
Okay. Is that co-ed?
This one, I don't know if it is or not. It should be. I think it's just pickup games.
Have you seen any women at the game?
Well, I haven't. The first one was last week, and there was only five of us.
Okay.
So it was. She just started. So Cam Hayes.
Yeah.
Do you know Cam?
I do.
He does Blendos. He and he does have some co-ed. He's got a Mini Hoopers co-ed league.
Nice.
And he's got a Sunday league that my son is in.
Nice.
That's generally like people who are in their 20s, 30s, those kinds of things. And there's a lot of teams. He's got some co-ed stuff and then some women's teams and some men's teams, so I don't really know. I do know. I think it's just noon ball on, if anybody's interested in doing it, I believe it's got to be just co-ed. Like, you just kind of sign up.
Yeah.
It's $7 a day or $20 for the month.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
so, and then you can just play from, he's there from like 11:30 to 1.
Okay.
So you can just go, and last time we had like a small game, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to go play. Everybody else is so much younger than I am.
That's how it feels every year. It feels,
and I was like, ow.
I know.
It hurt a little bit when I was playing. But that's all good. I'm getting used to it. So I didn't have yesterday morning when I left the studio, I did not have a guest on for today. And then I bumped into you upstairs.
Yep.
And then I also said, oh, hey, you know, let's talk about music or whatever. We'll play a song or something like that. And you gave me a list.
Yes.
And it was a very good list.
Thank you.
Of songs. And the crazy part was I only had one of them.
Yeah.
Now, is this crazy or not crazy? I don't know. So music is, albums are expensive.
Yes.
You know, so reasons being why I would buy something or not why I wouldn't buy something have to do with whether or not it shows up at my door or if somebody recommends it or if I see something at this, you know, it's like, oh, that's $10. I'll buy that, you know.
Yep.
So if you buy like a brand new album, it's like $20 to $35.
Yeah, it's an investment.
It's an investment, which is great. I have no problem with that, but I generally buy more older stuff. But there was some on here that I feel like I should own. And we'll talk about this sometime later in the interview.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you which ones of these I should own if I could choose three of these albums.
Okay.
Or artists. And then we'll kind of go from there. But you chose one on here. Oh, man. This I'm looking at this. Is at least one I know that I should own, which is ridiculous that I don't own. And I'm sad for that. But I'm going to play one song, and then we're going to get on with the interview. Today, we're going to talk about all things Cassandra Miller, not just Townie. We're going to go back to
my childhood.
That's right.
Okay, good.
Coming out of the womb.
It was a wild ride.
It's a wild ride until what's going on now, right? So even this morning, you're like, oh, my, this job and this job and this job. And I was like, oh, you work.
Yeah.
You're a hustler.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. And hustlers are, I'm a hustler as well. And I'm a little tired. We were just talking about our sleep. And I told Ange this upstairs when I was coming down. My father, Ronald Wayne Paquette, the man, the myth, the legend, who's awesome. He always said, if you're not tired, you ain't doing it right.
All right. We're doing it right.
So I'm taking it. I'm taking it. We're going to listen to Paul Simon.
Great.
I have Diamonds. That's the song I have. I was like, have you been to Graceland?
I've not been to Graceland. Oh, no, I have been. I went to Graceland in October. What am I talking about? I've been to the Elvis.
It was what?
I've been to the Elvis Graceland, but not like the
Graceland.
The African countries that inspired Graceland.
Yes, but have you been to Graceland? You've been to Graceland.
Yes.
Yes. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was Elvis is a figure in our recent pop culture history. So it was interesting to just see where he was and think about that and think about how popular he was when he was and still is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that house is crazy.
Yeah, the jungle room. I really like the pool room with like a fabric ceiling.
Yeah.
That I was like, this is fun.
There's also like, was it a racquetball court with a wet bar in it? It was like, there was like a bar. Yeah. Like the racquetball
court. It was a hang. It was a place that you could hang for a long time.
You could hang. Did you go on the Lisa Marie, the plane?
No.
That part was pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. If you ever go back, you could go check out the plane, you know what I mean? Like, there's like a three-tier, like, tour.
Okay.
One's got, like, the cars. Like, that's the full one. You go and, like, you see all his cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, we saw the cars.
So oh, you was, did?
We did.
Oh, okay, so you went on that. I went on the one where it was, like, the plane and then the house. And the plane was pretty crazy, which the plane's called the Lisa Marie.
That makes sense.
Lisa Marie? Yes, Lisa Marie. Yeah. And it's got, which I have on my calf, the taking care of business
yes.
sign on the, like, the back wing or whatever.
I was in Memphis for a conference and I love Memphis.
It's awesome.
All the live music especially, and we like hung out on Beale Street a bunch.
That's the place to be.
And we just like listened to these super talented musicians who are like gritty and soulful, and they just like
that town is super gritty.
Yeah.
I don't know why I call it town city, but it's like feels like a town to me.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just that got that vibe to it, but it's gritty.
It's
kind of like, just kind of like, I'm not, it's very, non-industrialized or something, or I don't want to call it industrialized, non-frilly.
It was non-frilly.
Non-frilly, I'll put it that way.
It had character, though.
Did you go to Sun Studios?
We did.
Yeah,
no, we didn't go to Sun. We went to Stax.
Oh, you went to Stax. Stax is awesome.
Which was, like, both of them are in this town. And that was...
Oh, yeah, and Stax is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to play this song, and then we're going to get... Look at blabbing away we are.
All right.
It's all good stuff.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the sole of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket.
Empty as a pocket,
nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na,
ta-na-na, ta-na-na.
She's got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Awa, awa,
ta-na-na,
ta-na-na, ta-na-na.
She's got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Awa, awa,
diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Awa, awa,
diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Awa, awa,
diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Awa, awa,
diamonds on the soles of her shoes. People say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You're taking me for granted because I bleed. Where is diamonds?" And I can say, talking about diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
sign of me. The poor boy changes clothes and puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. She said, honey, take me dancing, but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway while the bodegas had the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh.
We back, yo. Yo, we back.
Okay.
So tell us. Childhood. Let's talk about you till 18.
I grew up in the area.
Let's start with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up about 15 minutes away from Oneonta.
Oh, which direction?
In a land called Otigo.
Oh, I've heard of such land. The giant chicken.
Yes. Petey's used furniture.
That's right, when it was there.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, I still have furniture from that wonderful antique shop in a barn.
Yeah.
And, so I grew up there, and I went to Unitigo High School.
Yep.
And really what I mostly remember is I was so excited to leave and never come back. And here I am as an adult.
And here you are, Otigo. Otigo's cool. I mean, it's small.
It's small. I don't feel a strong connection to Otigo. I feel a strong connection to Oneonta. Like, I did a lot of activities in Oneonta, like sports and theater and music and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So
when you were in high school?
When I was in high school and in elementary school. Like, all the sports leagues were over here and...
What did you play?
I played soccer, volleyball, basketball, and softball.
Wow, that's a lot of sporting.
I know. I was very sporty. Not anymore.
You said you're doing something. We'll talk about this after. We have this secret weapon over here.
Athlete, but I did play many sports. Yeah, and in high school, I focused on soccer, volleyball, and softball, and then I dropped softball and soccer when I was a junior and senior and just, like, focused on theater.
Oh, okay. This is what I was going to ask you. So, you know, in your formative years of there being a young adult, mm-hmm. What were the dreams and aspirations of the of you as a high school student.
Yeah, I always thought that I also, I would always doodle in class and mostly drawing dresses, like fashion.
This checks out.
So I was doing all of these sketches and I had kind of thought that I would go to fashion design school, and I visited FIT and I just didn't, it just didn't feel like a fit, because what I really wanted also was kind of like that college experience of like being social. I was not super social in high school. I was a nerd. I hung out with my parents on Friday nights. I was like, what movie are we watching, guys?
We're watching The Love Boat? What's going on?
I know. So, but yeah, but high school was fun because I did do a lot of activities. So doing the activities was a good time. And then I went to college in Boston.
Oh,
and
this I did not know.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I knew. Where in Boston did you go?
I went to Boston University.
Oh, that's a good school.
It's a good school.
Yeah, BU.
Yep. And I knew I wanted to go to college in Boston, but I didn't know where. And
why Boston?
I don't. I just always kind of. I romanticized the place. I remember seeing Good Will Hunting was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
Yeah. And that's an awesome one.
I know. I was like, that place seems awesome. As was Legally Blonde. And they are set in Boston. And then also my aunt and uncle lived in Boston. My aunt, they both worked at the Boston Symphony Orchestra, which was pretty cool. And so we would visit the area. So I was like familiar with the area.
And so lots of colleges there.
There are.
There's a great Spinal Tap. Have you seen Spinal Tap? Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Do you know about it?
I do.
Yeah. There's a great scene where all their gigs get canceled. The gig gets canceled in Boston. He's like, oh, gigs canceled tonight. Don't worry. It's not a big college town. Like the joke in there. But I've been there a couple times. I guess I've been there maybe 10 times, Boston. I always had a good time. Hanging out there. Driving is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, there's all of the roads are, there's a lot of like one ways, and there's no rhyme or reason. It's not like New York City.
Yeah, no rhyme or reason.
Go this way. But
so you go to BU for an undergrad in?
I think it was my freshman year that I started writing for the school newspaper, and this was when newspapers were like a thing. And the BU had the fourth largest circulation publication in the city of Boston. They published 20,000 copies of the paper every day. It was a daily newspaper.
Okay.
That was completely run by students. And
that's wild.
I know. This was like 20 years ago. This was a different time. But they had these, the Daily Free Press, on all of the tables in the dining halls, and people would like talk about the stories in them. And I just like reached out and said, hey, I'd love to write something. And the first assignment they gave me was to cover Hemp Fest in Boston Common. And
naughty, naughty.
And so I went and did that and talked to all these people about the wonders of hemp.
That's right.
And I wrote an article, and it was published in the Daily Star, and then not the Daily Star, the Daily Free Press, and then it was picked up by High Times. So I have a byline in High Times.
Wow, remember that magazine?
I know, there were so many publications.
High Times,
but so that's the story that why I declared my major is journalism. And then I took so many art history and African American history classes that I have minors in those too.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
4 years or more?
4 years.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I studied abroad in New Zealand for 2 semesters.
Okay. During that time or after?
During that time.
Okay. New Zealand, two consecutive semesters?
Yep.
Okay, so you stayed there for a year.
Well, it was summer session and fall session, which was January to June.
So, why New Zealand? What? Tell us about your stay there. It's so interesting to go to New Zealand. I know not much about New Zealand.
I didn't know a lot about New Zealand either. I had really wanted to go study abroad in Ireland or Italy because I've got ancestors from those lands, and I was more familiar with it. But my, I think it was my junior year when you had to like apply, like the first, maybe the end of this. No, it was the beginning of the junior year. You had to apply for study abroad. And I had had a friend who had just come back from New Zealand, and she was, it was like life changing for her. She got like an All Blacks tattoo on her ankle, and she was just like, this is amazing. And I was also thinking of how it would be nice to be like in summertime in January.
Oh, that's true, because it's on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is why I went. There was no like, it wasn't like I was a huge Lord of the Rings fan and had to see that. It was just like, oh, this is an opportunity, and let's do it.
Cool. And there you just studied the same types of things, or did you just like, it's interesting when people go study abroad, because yeah. sometimes what the classes that line up with whatever you're graduating with,
yeah,
sometimes it's not. But
so with BU's journalism track, they emphasized hands-on experiences, kind of like music industry here. So yep. Auckland, New Zealand had a journalism internship track. And when I got to Auckland, I was looking through a newsstand and I saw a magazine that looked really cool. And it was like Time Out a little bit, but it was a glossy magazine that they published monthly. And I asked my internship advisor to like hook me up with that magazine, and so they had never had an intern before either, and it was called City Mix, and they were just like, okay, Cassandra, what do you want to do? So they let me like interview like artists and comedians, and I would come in from the weekend and tell them where my friends and I had gone out and about in the city, and they're like, oh, do you want to write an article about that bar? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And I did like
how
a
fun.
It was so fun. It was such great experience. And it kind of like.
And freedom. The amount of freedom. That's,
so much freedom.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's
they
a
were,
good thing.
Yeah. They were just like, what do you want to do? I was like, I'd love to write and interview people. And they were like, great. Go get them.
Go get them, champ. Yeah. Wow. So New England, the or New Zealand, primary form of language is English.
Yes.
And what is
Maori too.
And what's the other one?
Maori is the indigenous.
It's the indigenous.
Culture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
and there are a lot of people from Asia in Auckland too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Auckland. How do you spell that?
AUCKLAND. It's in the North Island.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of there's how many islands?
Two. North and south.
Okay. North yeah. and south New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Maybe I should go someday.
Yeah, it's fun. It was great.
Best food there?
I spent a lot of time at coffee shops, and that started in college. I love to go to coffee shop and write, like journal, whatever. And also in college, I would like go and study and at coffee shops. And in New Zealand, one of the popular coffee shop foods wasn't like muffins or scones, but meat pies.
Oh.
So little hand pies full of meat, and you can get one of those with your
meat
flat
pies.
White.
Wow. And like what's the musical?
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
Yep.
Like Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
Meat pies.
Yep.
Minced meat?
Yeah, sometimes.
Did they call it minced meat? I remember minced meat as like a kid.
Yeah, that was probably in there.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
I always find, like, whenever I go somewhere, I'm like, what's the food like? Like, that's the most important thing to me all the time. I'm like, what's the food like?
And as a 20-year-old, I didn't really know.
No, you're like, where's the booze at?
I know. they're known for their Sauvignon Blancs.
Is that what they're known for?
In New Zealand.
Sauvignon Blanc.
And so when I ordered a glass of wine in my adulthood, I will often order a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand.
Oh, very interesting. So yeah. I guess they have grape farms there or whatever they...
That's where they grow the wine.
That's where they grow the wine and you get the grape farm.
Mm-hmm.
okay. Cool. So you go to this is your junior year?
Yep.
Junior year, you come back, graduate... From BU.
Yep.
And then?
So I had, yes, I had been an editor at the school newspaper for like a couple of years. And because it was a daily, I would be spending, you know, like 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. at this newspaper every day on top of doing all of the schoolwork.
Did you get paid?
No.
No.
Nope.
Nope. That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. I learned a lot, and I've had cool journalism jobs, I think, because of that foundation.
Of course.
But because I was doing that, I was super burnt out on journalism, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can jump into, like, a newspaper job. So I was like, you know what I should do? I should move to Prague. And so I moved to Prague.
I did not know this. This is interesting.
And I did a teaching English as a foreign language certification. And so I got a certificate to be able to teach people like how to speak and read English at different language schools, which is pretty popular around the world.
Yes.
And I did my certification in Florence over the summer, but I couldn't get I couldn't find a job in Italy. And I had had a friend who had already decided to move to Prague. And she was like, Cassandra, there's an extra bed in my apartment. Do you want to come here? And that's how I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And I got a job like my second day in Prague. I just walked in the language school where my friend had done her certification. I was joking with this with the admin. I was like, do you need any teachers? And she was like, yes, can you start Monday? And I was like, yeah, I can.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to casually go to Prague. Remember when being like 22 years old?
Oh, yeah.
And being like, I'm just going to go do this. And it was awesome.
I did that a lot in my 20s.
Did it. You know, like I would still do that if I didn't have the children, probably.
But, yeah.
Or like a full-time.
Or like a house.
And or like a dog.
Bills, yeah.
Or bills. Yeah, screw the bills. I don't care about the bills. But
I know.
But, no. Oh, man. Okay, so that's super cool. How long were you in Prague for?
So I was in Prague for 6 months. And when I had first gotten there, I had applied for a bunch of jobs, including with the U.S. consulate posted some jobs, and after like 3 months, they called me and they were like, hey, would you come in and interview for a job to teach the Czech military English? And I went through that process, and for my interview, I had to do a sample lesson. And so I had like these colonels and generals doing the dating game in English to learn the language, and they offered me the job. And then when I went to, so I quit my other job at the language school. And when I went to like fill out all the paperwork, they're like, oh, so we just need your visa. And I was like, excuse me? And I was like, isn't that something you could help with? And they're like, oh no, you have to have already had a visa because you need to start.
Oh.
But I took that as a sign that I should move to Italy. And because I had gotten an email from my, like, a network, like, somebody who had done the program I did in Florence, and she was like, oh, this school outside of Milan is looking for teachers.
Do you not need a visa in Italy?
They, back 20 years ago, they were crafty about how they let Americans work in Italy.
Because, okay, I'm just wondering, you know.
So I got this job teaching.
Naughty, naughty.
I don't know what they did. They did some type of thing where they said we were doing like a work exchange in exchange for learning Italian or something, but we weren't doing that. But at that school, they set us up in an apartment and gave us cars because the clients, we would have to like go to different businesses to teach English. And so I lived with someone from New Zealand, someone from Australia, someone from England, and then another girl from the U.S. And it was great. And I did that for a year, and then I moved to Bologna.
Oh.
When that contract was done.
That's so crazy.
And I was in Bologna.
How do I not know any of this?
Yeah.
I know none of this.
Yeah. So it was wonderful. And then
Bologna. Yeah. So where is Bologna?
Bologna is in Emilia-Romagna. So that's in the middle of the country. It's called like La Grassa, and because it's the fat, it's where like Parmesan cheeses and bolognese.
Yeah, bolognese, and, right? Yeah.
And the food is really good. Oh, my gosh.
I bet. Okay, so that's in the middle of the country, halfway up.
Yeah, it's like north. It's like maybe like a couple hours north of Florence, or maybe it's south of Florence. Now I'm trying to think of geography.
Did you go to the Vatican at all?
Yes.
Did you go to Vatican City? Yeah. I guess Vatican's its own country.
In the middle of Rome.
In the middle of Rome. It's its own thing, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, some of the stuff, man, when I think back of some of the things I did in my 20s, I was like, what, girl? And and teaching here, if students are ever like, I don't know what to do, I'm like, you should move to another country and teach English. And also, like, learning how to find an apartment in another language that you don't speak.
Yeah, right.
And just figuring out, like, the transportation system and just, like, making friends, you know?
And yeah. I'll take the bolognese, please.
Yeah. Before I see. Yeah. My Italian's not. It's not what it used to be. But I was, like, I was pretty fluent when I left Italy when I was, like, 24, 25.
Okay. So you're in. How long were you in Bologna for?
For a year. So, like, okay. Italy was, like, 2.5 years.
Wow.
2 years. Yeah. And then I moved to New York City and was working at like an online.
Why'd you leave?
Magazine. Well, they do like contracts, and my contract was up, and I was starting to miss home. Like the original plan was to go to Europe for like a few months and then come back here and get like a journalism job. But then I was like, oh, I think I'm going to stay. Oh, I think I'm going to still stay. And then after 2.5 years, I was like, okay, I think it's time.
Crazy. And then you moved straight to New York City?
And I moved straight to New York City.
And you were in? Brooklyn?
I lived in Brooklyn for a little bit. I lived in Bushwick, and I lived in the Bushwick. East Village.
Oh, what part of the East Village?
Oh, it was like 11 and B.
Okay, so my daughter lived on E6th and B.
Oh.
She just moved. She moved away from there. She was there for right over by the Orpheum.
Cool.
And she just moved to Greenwich Village, yes. But she was there for a year and a half.
Okay.
So. I like that area.
Yeah.
East Village is awesome.
I liked it.
Yeah, Bushwick's cool, too. But
yeah, it was all good. It was, New York was interesting. Growing up here in the area, I always thought I'd live in New York City. And when I was actually there, especially transitioning from Italy, where the pace of life is super chill, they have like 40 holidays, paid holidays a year.
That's everybody, nice.
Like all these saints get to be celebrated, and they're just like, oh, okay. And then going to New York, where it was just like,
that's true. But, and what did you do? So when you were there,
yes.
What was your work?
So, I was teaching English to foreign students.
Oh, you were still in New York.
Yeah, at Kaplan. And then I was also working at an online magazine called Daily Candy that doesn't exist anymore. But for that, I was also like interviewing artists or like musicians and writing articles about, I don't know, like restaurants and things. So kind of like a entertainment site. And then the same year that I got moved back to the States, my family, there was some stuff going on with my family. So I came back up to Oneonta to help out for like a couple months. And I was still paying rent in New York, which was insane.
Oh, yeah.
But while I was up here, the Daily Star was looking for a temporary lifestyle editor.
Wow.
And
what year was this?
What year was that? 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I did that. And then I was trying to figure out kind of like what was next. I was like, I don't think I'm going to move back to the city. And then the Daily Star offered me a full-time job as community editor. And I did that for less than a year. And then the publisher was like, Cassandra, would you like to come up with a new publication to attract young readers? And he let me like design a publication in my like 20s, and I came up with an alt weekly called The Scene.
Is where I met you.
Yeah, which you were one of my first like cover stories.
Yeah,
I think the Zappa band.
Yeah, this was I think we did the interview at Latte Lounge.
We might have.
Or what was it called? The Magic Beat? Was it called the Latte Lounge?
Maybe.
I can't remember.
It's going back into the history.
I almost think we did it there. I think we did the interview there.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
I don't remember. I remember coming to like one of the rehearsals that you were
maybe
all
maybe it came
doing.
To the rehearsal. Yeah, I did. So that's a long time ago.
I know.
That's how I remember. That's how I met you, though.
Yeah.
Like that's. I think I'd known of who you were kind of before then from the local news thing or whatever.
Yeah.
That was when print media was pretty.
It was a thing.
It was pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
scene.
That was great. I loved that job because it was just talking to people doing cool things in the area. And
yeah, it was awesome.
Telling people about it.
We were always like, that was like the best part of the paper to read or when that was the best local publication to read.
Yeah.
Because that was printed at the Star though, right?
It was printed at the Star and published by them.
And published by them.
And yeah. And
it was a monthly?
It was a weekly. It started out as a weekly. And then after a year, it went to a monthly. And then after a year or two, I don't remember the timeline, but it went to a monthly. And then they put me on the copy desk in the evening. So I was working on this scene during the daytime. And then I was on the copy desk in the evenings until midnight. And then I got a part-time job at Hartwick College in their marketing department as like a junior graphic designer. So I would be there from like 9 to noon or 9 to 1. And then I would go over to the Daily Star until midnight.
Crazy.
I know. And then Hartwick offered me a full-time job because the Daily Star kept on shrinking.
Oh, you worked at Hartwick full-time?
I did.
I know this.
I worked at Hartwick for a year. I was there full-time for like 4 months. And and during that time, I had like visited friends in Baltimore. And then I like...
Here we go.
I fell in love with Baltimore. And so I had it as my screensaver.
Fly in the coop. Look at you. Freebird.
Yep. And that's how I got to Baltimore.
That's right. So you went to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Such an interesting place, Baltimore.
I love Baltimore so much.
I've only been a couple of times, and it was through transit, not like...
Oh, you would like Baltimore.
I wasn't hanging out in Baltimore. Baltimore and Frank Zappa have something in common.
Yeah.
There's a song, he's, What's New in
is
Baltimore.
Is he, like, from there, or but, did he die there? Edgar Allan Poe died there, so there's, like, a statue there to be like, he had his last drink in Baltimore.
And we're looking it up right now.
Yeah. There's a Zappa statue in Baltimore, too.
There is. I'm looking at it right now. The bronze bust of Baltimore-born musician. Oh, he was born there.
He was born. That makes sense.
But he really was California, but he was born in Baltimore.
Yeah.
There it is. You've seen it? Did you see
that? I have. I know where it is, too.
There's the bust. I'm looking
it's
at
great.
It.
And John Waters is like...
Really? Is he from Baltimore? Is he still live there?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
I would like see him out at like bars or events.
Really?
And, yeah.
Did you ever talk to him?
I feel like I talked to him a couple times. Not at length, but he's just like one of us. And
he's
super
cool,
yeah,
right?
And I was very involved in like the art, music, theater, like community in Baltimore. So there was a lot of cool events happening.
Interesting. So Baltimore. So what were you doing in Baltimore?
I was doing PR mostly. So I got into doing public relations for the professional theater company there, Baltimore Center Stage.
Okay.
Which was it's a really great theater company. And so I did that for a little while. And then I also did marketing for Visit Baltimore, which is the tourism agency for the city. And then I had a little spate where I was freelancing for the Washington Post and Baltimore Magazine, writing mostly about music and theater and movies. And then there was a job open at the Washington Post as entertainment editor of one of the Post's daily publications. So I got that job and I was the entertainment editor at the Washington Post for a little bit.
Oh, how far is Baltimore from Washington, D.C.?
It's only like 30 or 40 miles, but it takes about an hour to drive.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would take the train down, which was an hour 45 each way. So it was like 3.5 hour commute every day.
Lots of reading, listening.
Well, because my job was entertainment and trending, I would spend train time on like Twitter and Instagram being like, what are people talking about?
Gotcha.
Because I would have to go in and then like write about that.
I guess that makes it easy. Well, not easy, but at least you did not a waste of time.
It wasn't a waste of time, no.
You know.
But it was also like my job started at like 7 a.m. doing all of this stuff.
Oh, wow.
But and then I'll tell you the wrap up. I didn't like that commute, and I missed Baltimore. And so actually I did the tourism stuff after the Washington Post, but I still wrote for the Washington Post. And then I got a gig as the general manager of a performing and visual arts center in Baltimore. And that was my last
gig. And that was your last thing there?
Yeah. And it had a bar in there too. And so we had two performance spaces, and then we had...
What was the name of the place?
Motor House.
Oh, okay.
And it was super cool. It was the second floor were all artist studios, and including Amy Sherald, who has been in the art news lately because she had a show that was supposed to go into, maybe the National Gallery. It was supposed to go up in D.C., but one of the subjects was... a trans subject.
Oh, so they caught it?
She pulled it.
Oh, she pulled it. Oh, okay.
And she put it up at the Baltimore Museum of Art. But she also painted the portrait of Michelle Obama, and she painted it at Motor House in her studio.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, but, and I did that job, and they kept on, like, I kept on taking on more responsibility, and then my bar manager, because we had a bar that was open 7 days a week, he quit, and my boss was like, well, Cassandra, you're also going to have to manage the bar in addition to these venue spaces, the studios, all this. And I was like, I'm out.
I'm out later. So you leave Baltimore.
And I came back here.
And you came back.
And that's how I got back Tony on.
And have you been here ever since?
Yeah, since late 2019.
Okay. And then since you got here... lots of things have happened.
Yeah.
Always lots of things have happened. Tell us big things. What happened? So this is COVID, right? So you're here right before COVID.
I was here right. So this, again, I was supposed to be here for like a couple of months as a break. And then I wanted to go back to Baltimore or somewhere else. And I was interviewing for jobs to do marketing communications at performing arts centers or theater companies elsewhere when COVID happened. And then people are like, well, no one's doing performing arts. And I had like some teaching jobs here, and I was like, well, I guess I'll do this. And then I was doing some communications for the Iroquois Museum in House Cave, which is a really cool place. Have you been there?
Of course, yeah.
I love it there. So I love the people there so much.
Yep.
And I did that. And then I also, all of these were like part-time jobs. And then I got the part-time job as executive director of Catskill Symphony.
I remember that because you were up by, your office was around the corner from mine. That's when I was upstairs.
That was so fun.
I am not upstairs anymore. I'm downstairs now. But
you are? How do you like that shift?
Oh, I love it. So I was upstairs in a really small office up there.
Yeah.
And then when COVID hit, they put me downstairs in a office like four times as big.
Great.
And I'm in that office permanently now.
Love
it. It's right below my other one. I wanted to put a bat pole in there, you know, so I could slide down.
But, yes.
No, I love it downstairs. It's much better than upstairs. The heat was always weird upstairs, like the temperature control. Even downstairs a little bad, but upstairs was
Great. People talked about the CSO office was the only... it was the only office that had a window that opened.
Yeah, everybody wanted it. They were always like, oh, we want that.
I know. I was like, I'm going to take advantage of this open window. But yeah, so I've done a few things. I was the director of marketing communications at Munson Museum of Art in Utica.
Oh, that's right. I remember when you were doing that. Yeah.
And then I have been doing like consulting for the last like 10 years. And when I left the Utica job, because I own a house here and I wanted to be an Oneonta. I was consulting for them for a couple years.
Okay. So now you're teaching, you told me this morning, you're teaching three classes at SUNY Oneonta.
Yeah, I've been teaching like three a semester for four or five years with like a year break when I was in Utica.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you part of the UUP then? You're still part?
I am.
Yeah, the union's pretty good here.
There's actually, I got invited to this like appreciation lunch tomorrow for working here for 5 years.
Oh.
And I was like, I'll take a free meal. Thank you.
You get a little, you get a $5, is it through the UUP?
Maybe, I don't know.
Or is it through the college?
I think it's through the college.
So it's like your five-year token.
Oh, okay.
Maybe,
great.
Or something like that.
Maybe.
I don't know. I got my 25-year one a while ago, and they gave me a $25 gift certificate to the bookstore.
Oh.
And then they asked me what I was looking forward to in the future, and I said, oh, I can't wait for my $50 gift certificate to the bookstore when I've been here for 50 years.
That'll be nice. That'll buy you, like, a pen.
That's right.
In 25 years.
I still have not used my gift card from 2 years ago that I got. It's still sitting in my car.
Well, get a T-shirt.
I don't even think I can get a T-shirt.
I know. You could get a sticker.
I could get a sticker.
Yes.
So you've been teaching. What classes are you teaching this semester?
For the last couple of years, I've been teaching interviewing, which I love.
Oh, what a great class.
I know. And look at us. We're in it.
That's
right.
Now. We're in it right now.
We're in the thick of it. And it's really fun. And it feels useful. Like, it feels like the students get a real skill that they can apply to a bunch of different things.
Especially these days, like being able to talk to somebody.
I know.
It's interesting. Yeah. I teach one-on-one private students. I teach 20 a week, 22 a week at SUNY.
Yeah.
It is a lot. So I get students and I'm like, oh, you haven't sat alone and talked to somebody for a while, like in a professional setting.
Yeah.
You know, like it's an interesting thing that because of the screen time, you know, is kind of, and I'm not knocking it or not knocking, I'm just saying it is what it is.
It is what it is. It's like the world we live in. There's no, there aren't magazines and newspapers anymore, and there's not easy conversation. But, I wanted to tell you what my full-time job is.
Yeah, you actually have a full-time job too, which is the crazy thing.
And I do townie.
Which we've talked about, which townie's amazing, by the way. Townie. And why? No, what's the?
It's a Substack, so it's like townyny.substack.com.
That's right. We did a show on this before. But what's your full time job? What's your actual job?
So my full time job is as executive director of Butternut Valley Alliance, and this group is so cool.
Butternut Valley Alliance.
Do you know where the Butternut Valley is?
Well, I've been to Butternut Brewery place?
It's in Butternut Valley.
There we go. Butternuts.
It's pretty much like western Otsego County. It's all along like the Butternut Creek. They call it like Butternut Valley. And this group pretty much just like connects all the communities in the area for projects related to the environment, the economy, and arts.
Okay, that's cool.
So they do cool things. They just, Community Bank left Morris last year, making the area like a banking desert. So you had to go to like Oneonta, you had to drive like 20 minutes to Oneonta to use a bank.
Interesting.
So Butternut Valley Alliance rallied the municipalities and talked to the state and then recruited City Federal Credit Union to open up a branch in Morris and make a business banking development district. So the state, that these are these areas that would otherwise be banking deserts, but you bring somebody in and then City Federal can do all the things that a commercial bank can do because it's in this banking development district. And the state invested $35 million in this district so that the community can still have like a banking option. So BVA does stuff like that. They're like, what needs to happen in our community to make it better? Okay, we'll do it. Or we'll like connect people to make things happen.
Super cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. I love them. And I spend a lot of time at the Gatehouse in Morris and at Five Kids Bakehouse in Gilbertsville.
Both awesome places, by the way.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Like, Gatehouse is such a cool community space, like a third space for the community.
Yeah.
They do so
many. Music, art.
Music,
poetry, yoga,
art.
All kinds of stuff.
And
I always like how
wonderful.
They have like customer of the week like on their social media pages too.
I know.
I'm like, oh, I know that person.
Yeah. I love them. And Five Kids Bakehouse, oh my gosh.
I've only heard a bunch of stuff from multiple people saying that I have to go and I have not been there yet and I will make it there.
It's worth it. It's like worth a trip.
A family runs it.
And but yeah, such good baked goods. And that's like one of my favorite places to go for lunch.
That's in Gilbertsville?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I had to get that in.
Oh
there.
No, that's the most important thing. So many things going on.
That's
so crazy. Your life. So plans for the summer?
We in my life,
in your life?
Not really. Well.
Well, with your jobs and your life.
Okay. I was like, I might power wash my deck.
Okay. That's a big thing.
It's very exciting. And BVA has a lot of cool things happening. They do this thing called On the Trail of Art, where they do an outdoor exhibition at a different state forest every year.
That's and super cool.
There's like 150 artists that participate. And wow. They set up all these galleries in the woods. And
that sounds fun.
Super cool. That's in June.
Okay.
And then we have Butternut Valley Days, which is two weekends of events in August. And I think you performed at the Harvest Festival last year.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Yeah, so that's one of the big events. And there's like a big bike race. And that both of these events take so much planning. So we're kind of like in the thick of planning those. But we're doing new this year. The Gatehouse is doing a music festival the day after the BVA's festival.
Cool.
And then GEM, Gilbertsville Expressive Movement, is doing a music festival the following weekend.
Wow.
So it's like two weekends of music and activities and vendors. And
sure.
Yeah.
How much fun? How do we find out about this? Where's the socials for this?
Well, the website's butternutvalleyalliance.org. And okay. It's Butternut Valley Alliance on Instagram and Facebook.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The amazing Cassandra Miller, everybody.
Thanks for asking me about my life.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Last question. You ready?
Yeah.
Favorite restaurant, Oneana?
Dazzo's.
There we go. That was so quick. That's right down.
Oh,
what's
so
your favorite
good.
Thing to get?
Their pasta and their pizza is like
pasta
bar none.
Pizza.
They're
and
so
the creme
good.
Brulee? Have you had the creme brulee? It's good.
No, let me tell you about the pot de creme, the dessert. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's such a treat. It's like a chocolate mousse covered with like... I don't know, I think it might be French meringue that they like torch. You dip in there.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, I love it so much. And they're so wonderful. Like, I just need to tell you how wonderful Dazzo's is because their service is really excellent. Plus, the food is really excellent. Plus, they like refresh their menu every few
they
weeks.
They do. And they're right down there, you know, they're right on
we
river.
We love them.
We love them.
Yeah.
Rock and roll, everybody. Tomorrow, I'm not going to be here.
Where are you going
to
be?
Well, I have to drop my son off and bring him to school because he's going on the Grand Canyon trip.
Oh, wow. That's insane that those trips happen at Oneana. Oh, my gosh.
So, but I will be here on Friday with Tim Ramey from Hartwick.
Nice.
Who's amazing. And, I hope everybody has a great hump day and April Fool's Day. And we love Cassandra Miller. Rock and roll, everybody. What's in your pocket?
Woo!
Oh no, oh no, majesty and misery, majesty. Into a big nice house, what couldn't keep the fires out? Oh no, no, yeah. The heedless riches Croesus, and the world we knew a ship of Theseus. Oh no.
is always doing me wrong. Silent secrets age in the road. If you wanna sit, I can make it better. If you wanna let, I can touch you better for you. If you wanna go, I will not forget you. If you wanna take a little so higher, we saw signs from the moment we turned on the highway. We fell down in the same mistakes. I found out, but it can't be placed. We got caught in the same mistakes. I found out, but it can't be placed. We fell down in the same mistakes. I found out, but it can't be placed. We fell down in the same mistakes. I found out, but it can't be placed. Fathers always doing me wrong. Mothers, drunk laid out on the lawn. Silent, secrets deep in the road. Memories you can't see till they go. These are signs of the moon we turned on the highway. And that's a mountain.
All right, let me turn this thing on.
Is anyone ready? No. What do you mean, no? Fine, and we'll start without you. Places, people. Yes, go to your places right now. All right, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, no. This is a movie intro, not a radio intro. Oh, well. You're listening to WONY.